Did you know back in 1845 that Steamboat was actually Texas? And every year for 22 consecutive years, they have sold out Steamboat Music Fest. It's going to sell out again. This is Bree Bagwell inviting you to the coolest music fest in Steamboat, Colorado. It happens every January. You've seen it. Have you not been? What are you waiting for? It is the original Texas Music Festival with over 50 bands in the Texas and Red Dirt music scene. You never know. Kevin Fowler might be just eating lunch next to you one day. With the Steamboat Music Fest package, you get 6 days of mountainside lodging, 4 days of lift passes, one night lift pass. Don't miss out. You're going to have so much FOMO if you're watching on social media. So just go to themusicfest.com, sign up for that email newsletter. You can get on the wait list. You never know. Steamboat Music Fest, down home, up high. Come get real with us. Steamboat Music Fest. Hey, this is Bree Bagwell with Only Vans Podcast, and I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend time worrying about things like taxes and bookkeeping and the IRS. I'm from a family of accountants, so take my word for it. You need someone that is specialized in Texas taxes, and Lakeside Tax and Bookkeeping are pro QuickBooks advisors, and Stacey has been doing this for over 25 years. Girl knows what she's doing, and I just did all my sales taxes. Just trust me, get someone who knows what they're doing to help you. In addition, Stacy is an enrolled agent of the IRS. That sounds fancy because it is, and it means you won't be getting in trouble with the IRS. Go to lakesidetax.com today and sign up with my girl Stacy and get the IRS tax and bookkeeping help that you need.
My first show ever was opening for your band Riverside.
Riverside.
Oh my gosh. What a great band. I was 14 when I opened for y'all, and someone had hit the transpose button on my keyboard, so the first song I ever sang on stage, I was singing in a different key from the band, and my mom has it on video somewhere, and I'm like, Mom, it was, I can't even listen to it, but that was my first time ever playing a show publicly, was opening for Riverside.
That was, oh man.
Those were the days.
Those were days, man. We would load up and drive all the way to Cruces and play for the hometown, and man, it was fun. God, it feels like a lifetime ago.
Yeah. But I remember because, you know, how Las Cruces was pretty into Texas country. I mean, we're close. We're very close to Texas. But like my brothers were really into it and thought it was really cool. And yeah. Is that like what happened with you? You were like, I want to move to Austin and do.
No, I didn't know anything about it, really. I was, KGRT.
Yep.
The hometown commercial radio station, you know, and I mean, I was 10 years old in 1990 and 20 years old obviously in 2000, so like those just super formative years, I think, where your musical DNA kind of gets written just because of the experiences you go through. Like my soundtrack to it was Alan Jackson, Garth Brooks, George Strait. You know, George would come to town. Mm-hmm. Alan Jackson, I saw Alan Jackson, that was my first concert at the Pan Am Center. Dad bought us all like floor seats, and wow. We got to see that. That's fine. My mom was like, you know, I prefer Alan Jackson. Garth just runs around and makes it all about him. But Alan stands up there and just sings the songs.
Hey, hey, everybody. This is Bree Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
That's the problem with being a musician, though, is you don't know when your peak is.
You can only tell in hindsight.
You can only tell in hindsight. And then you're like, what? Now I'm going to stop? And then you're like, well, I should stop 5 years ago. But then what are you going to do? Go get a job at Home Depot?
I'm unqualified for any other job.
You
unemployable.
Me too.
Terrible at taking orders. And then you can't have a boss.
You get old and like kind of like fat, and people are like, oh, remember when they were, oh, they've really gone downhill. That's what we have to look forward to.
I can't stand it, like, because we have press pictures that we use, and my beard is just so like full and brown, and now it's just all this patchy gray, and I'm like, what the?
I know. I have actual facial hair myself, which is a new thing that's happened to me, and my mom's like, oh, just wait. There's plenty more things that are going to happen to your body. So I am terribly sorry. The generator has decided to die, so it is hot.
It's cool.
And
I was raised in the desert.
That's right. We're going to talk so much about the desert. First things first.
Is it started?
We just roll right into it.
Good.
And I never tell people when we start, and I can't tell if it drives everyone crazy or Kyle crazy, but
I didn't say any bad
working words,
so I'm okay.
Yeah, we can always bleep them out. Say sorry.
Bleep.
Sorry, Mom. That's what we put over.
Bleep, bleep.
Yeah, but Cody Canada, he was He was cussing.
Man,
it's when you're a rock star, you can do literally whatever you want.
My mom will watch this, so I'm not going to cuss.
Yeah, that's how I feel. And people are like, oh, they don't care. I mean, my mom would be supportive of a well-placed cuss word, but if there's no point, then there's no point.
Well, now that I'm getting self-conscious, do you have trash can?
Uh-oh.
I have gum in.
Yeah, there's one under the sink.
Oh, well, good. I'm right by the sink.
Yeah, yeah. Get in there. Throw that gum out.
Let's lose the gum. Let's be professional.
It's very funny because, do you know Robert Ellis?
Of him? I don't know him personally.
I was in his music video, and at the beginning of the music video, it's just me, and I'm supposed to be, like, obnoxiously chewing gum.
Uh-huh.
And, like, so every time I think I have gum in my mouth, I think that that's what I look like. But it was for a video, their Topo Chico song.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if Topo Chico has sponsored you yet.
You know, Topo Chico has been very kind to us. We did not ask permission to totally rip off their logo. Mm-hmm. It frightened our designer to the point that we had to sign something that said if there was litigation, he would not be responsible. It was totally on us.
Poor baby.
Which is probably smart. Because I think sometimes that'll happen. People will rip a logo and then the brand that they're ripping will kind of come after them. But when we put out our first Topo Chico Cowboy thing, Topo reached out to us and said, we love it. And I have a Topo Chico refrigerator and socks.
Yes.
And Topo Chico, they've been very kind, very cool.
They sponsor this podcast. I'm just kidding. They don't. Well, wouldn't that be funny if I was they sponsor me and not you? But they've been kind to, I think, all Texas. I mean, they're a great company.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And delicious. And they're just amazing to insert one in between beers. It makes the next day so great.
I agree.
Just drink Topo Chico all night. It's fine.
I agree. What were we doing when we were doing Drive February without Topo Chico? Like, we weren't surviving.
We weren't doing it. I wasn't doing it.
That's true. Did you see my hat? I have my Topo Chico Cowboys hat.
Very nice.
And if you don't know, Josh Grider is one of half?
One of half. 0.5 of.
0.5 of the Topo Chico Cowboys. And your EP lengths make me laugh so hard.
They have two songs.
Whose idea was that?
It's just what the budget allowed. Spotify won't call it. I mean, if it's more than one, it has to be an EP, basically, like TuneCore or whatever, when you upload it.
So you guys,
it's clearly not a record. So we call them EPs, but they're only two songs.
You just put out your third EP of two songs each, which I think is brilliant.
I say it's doing it Noah's Ark style. We do it two by two.
Well, the songs are great, and the new one, I heard it on KMBT yesterday.
Getting some love in the hometown. It's pretty great.
I know. And I was going to say, first things first, how many one-night taco stands have you had, and does your wife know about it? That was how I was supposed to start this podcast.
Oh.
But we, because you were saying hometown, have you found good tacos here?
Here in town?
Yeah.
I think my favorite taco truck is over, it's by that gas station at 306 in Common, at the end of Common.
Okay.
In 306, there's a truck over there.
What?
Pretty great. And the name is escaping me right now, but... Oh. I really like those.
I was like, what an interesting name for a taco.
And then
place.
The drive through at, it's like Jalisco Alto Taqueria number 2 or something. Mm-hmm. It's just a drive through and that's on the corner of like Business 35 and Seguin.
Okay.
And I love their horchata. It's really good.
Okay.
So for a breakfast taco and some horchata, we go there.
Interesting.
Tia's is okay.
Yeah. I haven't found like the best breakfast tacos here yet, so yeah. I'm on the hunt.
It's usually in your kitchen, right?
Or your kitchen. I'm like, hey.
Yeah.
Listen, Josh Grider is quite a cook. I have that on my notes to talk about.
I love cooking.
Where did you just learn? Did you just learn to cook? Or I feel like a lot of dudes from Las Cruces, which is, by the way, where we are both from, if you didn't know. Josh Grider's
LC
pride
Porita.
Of Las Cruces. LC, the 505. But I feel like a lot of dudes down there just like learn to cook. Cook great food.
I cooked nothing growing up because my mom cooked. Mm. But we like pretty traditional, like we had dinner on the table most nights. And mom would even, she worked, but she would cook breakfast of some kind in the morning. And then I moved away and I was too poor to go out. And at Baylor, where I was at school, the cafeteria, I mean, it was cafeteria food.
Yeah.
And so as soon as I got my own place, I just started calling home and being like, Mom, how do I make this? Because I figured, you know, going to the grocery store was a lot cheaper. I lived the keyboard player in my first band and I lived together. His name was Jake Rucker. He's from East Texas. He was a great pianist. He was a pole vaulter and he was a calf roper. Like, legit at all these things. He was just one of those people that could do anything. He was just great at everything.
I love this person.
And, oh, he was the best. We had some of the most, you know, just those early college days. So much fun. But he and I lived together, and we would, like, go to HEB and just shop as cheap as we could. And he'd call his mom. I'd call my mom. We'd just start making recipes. One of our favorite things to make was bean and corn surprise.
Okay. Scary.
It involved a can of pinto beans, a can of corn. And then the surprise was Rotel.
Great.
a little spice. But we made bean and corn surprise a lot. And that would accompany whatever our protein was.
Oh, I was wondering if the surprise was the protein. Like if it was whatever protein you happened to find on the streets of Austin.
The first time we made beans, we did not take, I'll never forget this. We like filled it like, you know, raw pinto beans, filled the beans to the top of the pot, and then soaked them.
Oh, no.
And, I mean, they just kept pouring over it. We had five pots of beans by the time. We made so many beans our first adventure. But I just love it. And as I got older, again, it was like you go out to eat somewhere, and it was part of the challenge. I'd be like, I think I could make this.
Yeah.
Like, I look what I just paid for this meal, and... Like, nothing frustrates me more these days than going out and ordering something that I could have made way better at the house.
Well, you do make it way better. I've been benefiting from that for a long time, so I appreciate it.
It's, you know, it's economics is what started it, really. But then it's creative. It's, you know, we're creatives, so we love putting ingredients together. Cooking and songwriting are very similar to me. We all have access to the English language and the alphabet. We're all using the same words, but mm-hmm. it's just how you put them together. And right. we all go to HEB and buy the ingredients, but it's how you put them together.
HEB should sponsor this podcast.
And it there's a direct line. Like, I love things like, we do so much work, I think, in this field that it's just kind of like throwing it out there in the wind and hoping a return comes back on the effort. But when you make a great meal and then you have friends over and everyone eats and everyone's full, you're like, I thought of something, I made it, and then it worked. Like, I was able to use it. It's like mowing the yard. You're like, here's a task, something accomplishable in this day. I will see the results, as opposed to like, well, I wrote this song and who the knows if what's going to happen.
Paul and I talk about that all the time, and why I feel so overwhelmed. It's because your to-do list is really never done, because you can always do more. You can always write more songs. But then if you do something great, if you write a great song, there is like almost no guarantee that it will do anything for you ever. If you
or that anyone else will like it. Like, you can love it. There's nothing worse than like having that song. You're like, this is special. And then you play it for your significant other, a crowd, whoever. Mm-hmm. And you can see them tune out. Like, before you even get to the chorus, they're like, eh. You're like, this is great.
And not only did you create something great, now you have to go find thousands of dollars to record it. So exactly. It's like, it's almost like, well, I wrote a great song. Well, now this is creating another problem for me.
It's never ending, but pretty addicting.
Yeah, I know. Your bean story reminded me of, because we're from the land of green chili, which now AGB has Hatch Green Chili, which is right by where we're from. But I gave Steve Helms a bag of roasted green chili one time, and him and Stephanie don't really cook a whole lot, I don't think, and by choice, they love to eat good food and they can afford it. But they sent me a picture and I had a show and I didn't see it till afterwards. And then I got on and I opened the picture and I had forgot to tell them they had to take the skin off.
Oh, man. Like, I don't know about this.
There's no way that could have been good, because we get the unmarked bags. You know the deal. We don't get bags with instructions. We get like the Ziplocs. Molido, like they're labeled, which you're not sure, and some of them are just labeled like ? This could be hot, it could be not.
Yeah. Don't serve the company, because you might ruin somebody's night with this.
Right. I mean, we will be okay. Has your palate, like, have you been able to still take the same amount of heat? Because sometimes when I go home to Cruces, I'm like enchiladas or beef.
I can meal at a time, but yeah, if you go home and you just hit it like three or four meals of just like intense spice, yeah, your insides are like, wait, what are we doing? Like, I can totally, you know, cook it up hot and like, oh, I have this meal. But then you don't for a few days. But back home, man, it's meal after meal.
Three meals a day of green chili. And my mom, she'll cook me an egg with a tamale, like, for breakfast.
Yeah.
It's like, mom, I can't function this way. I always leave 10 pounds heavier than when I came. But
oh, there's cheese with everything, beans or refried beans.
Always. And a tortilla,
the thing tortilla. Also about like cooking, you figure out what's in the things you love. Like how much butter it really takes to make food good.
A whole stick.
I'm like, what makes refried beans so good? Oh, it's lard. It's lard. Straight up lard.
Straight lard and like so much salt. Like oh. There is just so much salt in that pot.
And you go home and it's dry as a bone out there anyway. Mm-hmm. And then you eat all this salt and you're just like, you're like a raisin.
Yeah. We're from the desert. So I feel like it was interesting because we kind of had the same path as far as moving from New Mexico to Texas to like pursue the Texas thing. And my first show ever was opening for your band Riverside. Oh my gosh, what a great band. I was 14 when I opened for y'all, and someone had hit the transpose button on my keyboard, so the first song I ever sang on stage I was singing in a different key from the band, and my mom has it on video somewhere, and I'm like, mom, it was I can't even listen to it, but that was my first time ever playing a show publicly, was opening for Riverside.
That was, oh man.
Those were the days.
Those were days, man. We would load up and drive all the way to Cruces and play for the hometown, and man, it was fun. God, it feels like a lifetime ago.
Yeah, but I remember because, you know, how Las Cruces was pretty into Texas country. I mean, we're very close to Texas, but like my brothers were really into it and thought it was really cool. And yeah. Is that like what happened with you? You were like, I want to move to Austin and do.
No, I didn't know anything about it really. I was, you know, KGRT,
yep.
The hometown commercial radio station, you know. And I mean, I was 10 years old in 1990 and 20 years old, obviously, in 2000. So like those just super formative years, I think, where your musical DNA kind of gets written just because of the experiences you go through. Like my soundtrack to it was Alan Jackson, Garth Brooks, George Strait. You know, George would come to town. Mm-hmm. Alan Jackson, I saw Alan Jackson. That was my first concert at the Pan Am Center. Dad bought us all like floor seats and wow. We got to see that. That's fine. My mom was like, you know, I prefer Alan Jackson. Garth just runs around and makes it all about him. But Alan stands up there and just sings the songs. But I just love that. I started teaching myself how to play guitar in high school, started writing songs in high school. And then later in high school, I guess I'd had some older cousins that had kind of gone off into the world, and they brought back like Robert Earl Keen. And I was a Jerry Jeff Walker fan in high school because of, again, some of my older cousins and people that we knew from cruises that had gone to Texas and kind of discovered it. But this is the late 90s. Like there is no... The discovery is, you're talking mixtapes, like literally, or burn CD mixes. So it was so small. And then my senior year, after we graduated, me and all my buddies, Larry Salopek, Joe Phillips, Ibarbo, Zach Nelson.
Oh, boy. Shout out to the homies from the hometown.
We go to Luckenbach because Willie's doing his picnic. And one of my cousins had gone the year before. And he's like, you guys got to come to Luckenbach. This is insane. And so we went out there and we camped out at the Armadillo campground just down from, I drive past it all the time now. But that was like my first like Texas music thing. And I'd seen Willie, Dad had seen Willie a few times when I was young, but Robert Earl was there. And man, he just stole the show. Like this is Live Dinner number 2 era. Like he's just on fire, you know? Yeah. And that crowd, like they lost their minds and I'd barely heard of him. And I was like, what is going on? People are just crazy. Like, girls in their cutoffs and bikini tops and cowboy hats, and the dudes are all like, we were just like, this is incredible. I was like, wow. And so then a few months later, I moved to Waco to go to Baylor, and a dude is like, hey, you want to go see a concert? Baylor had just legalized dancing in 1996.
I'm sorry,
on
what?
Campus.
I'm sorry, what?
It's a huge Baptist university. What? Dancing on campus was only allowed in 1996. I get there in 98. So they're throwing dances left and right, like any chance that we can have to like dance.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell.
Oh, hi, this is Cindy Howes from Basic Folk, and here's what's happening on the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network. Only Vans, a Texas country music pod with rock star host Bree Bagwell, recently welcomed Matt Hillier.
You sang a song nobody had ever heard.
And you kept going, come on, everybody, sing it with me.
You know the words.
You know the words. It was the best.
On Basic Folk, honest conversations with folk musicians, myself and co-host Lizzie Noh recently featured John Moreland.
Some of the lyrics are like, you seem to know some things you must have overheard. It sounds like it's talking about a lover. A couple minutes into the song, he's talking about a smartphone, and it just creeped me out so hard that I got a flip phone too.
Wow. And finally, the String Dusters' Travis Book is hosting the Travis Book Happy Hour, live music and conversation from guests like Trey Hensley.
Just listening to Earl Scruggs play the banjo or play the guitar, you always knew it was him. There was always those people that played, and you immediately, within a few seconds of hearing their instrument, knew it was them.
Hear it all and more on the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network or wherever you get podcasts.
Hi there, my name's Jarrett Reddick. You may know me as Bree Bagwell's very best friend. But I'm also the singer for the band Bowling for Soup. I release country music under my name Jarrett Ray Reddick. I'm the guy that sings the Phineas and Ferb theme song. Oh, and I do a podcast called Rockstar Dad Show. Each week, myself and the drummer for Bowling for Soup, Gary, talk about being dads. We talk to other dads. Sometimes they're rock stars, comedians, actors, neighbors. One time we even had a mom on the show. If you like to laugh, if you're a dad, if you've ever had a dad or ever wanted a dad, this is the show for you. Rockstar Dad Show, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo and tell them Brie and Whiskey sent you.
So there's going to be a homecoming dance, and Pat Green is going to play. Pat, of course, is from Waco. And it rains out. So they move it to Mars McLean Gym, this little bitty gym. And a buddy of mine is like, we got to go see this guy, Pat Green. He's from Houston. He knew. This guy's named Jared Lassiter, I remember. And so we go, and it's kind of a bust. You know, it rained out. There was maybe 40 people in this gym. Pat and the band are underneath the basketball goal. We're just standing on the floor 15 feet away from him. But, again, this is when Pat's, like, taking off. Like, the energy, and, like, these guys load up in a van and a trailer. Because all the shows I'd seen in Cruces were, like, buses. You know, I saw Garth. I saw George Strait. But it was, like, seeing how to get from, like, a dude that knows a few chords and grew up in Las Cruces to that, like, you're like, how do you even do that? But when I got to Texas and I see Pat and the guys load up in a van and trailer, I'm like, oh, well, that's doable.
I can do that.
And you could get in clubs at 18 in Texas, so I could go see more shows. Like, you have to be 21 in New Mexico. So I'd never even really been to a bar, you know, until I got to Texas. And so, I mean, I immediately, I buy Pat Green the Here We Go album, the green one. The half at Shadow Canyon, half live at Green Hall, Owen Temple General Store, and Corey Morrow, man, that I've been. I go to Hastings on Valley Mills, and those are my first three, like, legit Texas country music
purchases. R.I.P. Hastings.
I know. So I had that, and then that Robert Earl Keen. Those were, like, my first four, and I just was hooked. I just thought it was so cool, so accessible. I love the relationship of the artist to the fan to the artist, and just how you could just go see these guys, and then you could bump the songs in your car. I don't know. There was just a connection that just had me hooked, and that's what I wanted to do. And we started a band in college, and we were all over. We played Fish covers and Bob Seger covers, you know, what you do when you start a band. But we were writing, and I was writing, and I was just trying to copy Robert Earl. I was just trying to copy those guys, right? Texas country sounded stuff. But I couldn't. I never felt good about doing, like, the Texas tropes of the river and Scheinerbach and all that.
Cause, yeah, because we're not from here.
Right. And I was like, it felt inauthentic to me. And I was like, they're going to suss me out immediately. They're going to know that this isn't, like, my heritage. It's become my heritage. I mean, I've been here 20 years now.
Yeah, me too. It's wild.
But, yeah, that was it. And then after that, you know, college ended and the band sort of split up. And I moved to Austin and I made my first, like, legitimate Texas country record. I wanted Lloyd Maines to do it because Lloyd was doing everybody. He produced all the records I loved. I couldn't afford Lloyd, but I could afford Cedar Creek, and I could afford Adam Oder. So I had two of the three things that I wanted for, like, my dream Texas country
Amazing.
Record. So that's when I met Adam Oder. We went to Cedar Creek. John Silva was there, and I used my band, and we made, you know, and that was the first time I ever got, like, on the radio and just started brick by brick. I mean, literally having no idea how the music business worked, knowing nothing about publishing. I had a couple managers, you know, how the managers and the booking.
Oh, they just flow right on through there, in and out.
They're all super well-intentioned, you know. I mean,
Absolutely.
Bruce Kalmick was my booking agent at one point.
Oh, I forgot that he was a booking agent before, like, he was a manager. Paul's booking agent too.
Right.
Wow.
Brandon Ryder and Walt Adam Hood, like, they started that. And Bruce has gone on to do incredibly huge things in the music business. But a lot of Texas, you know, a lot of the small, and I think this is probably true in any scene, but this is the one I know, they just love the music and they want to help, but they don't necessarily know how the business works or what's going on.
My problem with a manager was always, like, when I realized that they were taking 20% of my gross, I realized that was all of my profit. So it's like, right. if you're not making the pie significantly bigger, you can't take the 20% or else there's nothing left for me. And even the good managers that I loved, I was like, man, I can't afford to have you around unless you're increasing the size of the gross by as much as you're taking. You know?
100%.
I mean, it's just simple math. That's girl math. I don't know. I had to use pie in there. That's amazing, because I remember moving to Texas and you had, like, Crazy Like You was hitting. And I went to see you at Harry's when I lived in College Station. And you had Live at Billy Bob's. You were doing all the things that I was like, I want to do that. And you should have told me, no, don't do this. But you were like, yeah.
I think I said, just call me if you need any advice. And maybe I would have told you. But
I don't think I ever called you.
You're going to do it your own way. You're going to figure it out.
We're figuring it out.
You need to be calling people.
And it works out really nicely, because now we live in the same town again.
Amazing.
And
the circle just completing itself. It's great.
It's so awesome. And what's it like to have a partner that's hotter and better singing than you? Because that's what I have too. I think we should have a support group for people whose spouses are better than them in every way.
I don't want it to be the other way. You know what I mean? Like, I would rather be married to somebody more beautiful and talented than me. Yeah. I don't want to carry that load.
I hope you didn't find that offensive. I just think she's really great.
I don't find it offensive at all.
I think you guys are apples and oranges. And
she's incredible.
You're not so shabby yourself.
Super talented. And she's doing her thing. And it's all very, very cool.
Yeah, you guys just played a house concert. You guys do house concerts together when you can. And
we did.
That's fun.
We're just back from Idaho. And we're going out to California to do one in a couple weeks. We do them all over the place. It's amazing. Like, what I love about the Texas music scene, and why I'm so appreciative for it, and I don't regret any of the decisions I've made, because I could have gone to Baylor or Belmont. Like, those were both, I had music scholarships to both schools. And why I chose Waco, Texas, again, in hindsight, you can look back and be like, oh yeah, because I was going to meet my wife and my life was going to turn like this. But, like, I could have gone straight to the belly of the beast at 18.
Right.
Who knows? You can't play that game, really, of how that would have worked. But what Texas has given me, their love for original music, the way that when the fans find an artist, they just hold them tight. And that has given back to me in so many ways. I never crossed that threshold to the touring with a bus. I never crossed that, got to the Randy Wade thing, you know. But, man, I just built this little thing that just keeps giving back to me in these unexpected and beautiful ways. Like, hey, we're Texas expats. We live in California, you come out and play for us, like, you know. And now my fan base has grown up, they have jobs, they're making money. It's not like, will you come out and play for $200? Like, you can we piece together a living. Sometimes it blows my mind, but it's been amazing just what Texas radio has done, and it's just that exposure of getting out and doing those gigs. And even if in the moment you're thinking it should be way better than this, you know, you look back and just like I said, brick by brick, you've just kind of built this thing. And it's like the Johnny Cash, one piece at a time. It's a funky looking thing, but it works.
Yep, that's what I keep saying about our house, is one piece at a time. But that is a great analogy, and I love that. And I think, you know, I was looking at her pictures that she posted of y'all, and Paul and I did a date in at Artovino's, you know, near Cruces.
Yeah.
And right on the border, and they flew us out there. We ate amazing food. We stayed in this really cool Airbnb right on site, and then, you know, we had amazing wine, and then we flew back the next day, and we were like, okay, this is what we've both worked for 20 years to do.
Exactly. Which is like, rinse, wash, repeat. Let's do this more.
Make money together. I mean, you know, he has his band, I have mine, and same with y'all. You guys have your own things, but it's so rewarding to be able to do things together for a price that you feel like is
right,
worth your time,
and it's all going in the same kitty. Like, you're able to take what you do and invest that in your life in different ways, and I mean, I toured with bands for years, and I love that. I love the energy of playing music with other people, and I do miss that, you know, from time to time. I love the energy of a great rhythm section and just really just doing it. But like, man, it's just with the economics of the solo singer songwriter, and I learned it from Drew. You know, I mean, for years, Drew's like, dude, you don't need a band. Just go out there and play your songs. I'm like, no, man, I gotta have a band. And again, I still will put a band together when it makes sense and it's the right time. And I'm gonna put some new music out, and you know, maybe we'll do a little band tour. But this pace, and it is, it's what you work 20 years to get, and you finally look up and you're like, oh, I'm not. It's fun to not be sweating. You start sweating week to week, and then it's kind of month to month. And you know,
yeah.
Now I'm like, I'm only sweating like 3 months out right now.
Great.
Right. It's not.
That's where I want to get.
It's not tomorrow. I'm not like.
Well, it's different now too, I think, because you know, I was playing like 12 to 15 full band shows a month, and I had to keep my guys busy so they didn't quit. Well, they quit or got stolen anyway, you know, as
great poachings.
I have had the most epic poachings. That should be its own episode of all the players. But I think I have to vet people double because I'm a girl.
Yeah.
So I think that I find these really amazing people, and people just kind of, but it's okay. I forgive them. But now I have, you know, all of my guys have other jobs now. So we're only doing like 5 to 6 full band a month, maybe. And then I can do acoustic stuff when it makes sense. And I'm like, I should have been doing this all along.
And that's, again, I think that's just a function of the time. But yeah, you're young, you get all this pressure, and you start taking bad gigs or low paying gigs because you're just so afraid of losing the band, because it's such a pain to just have this revolving door of characters. But like when you, again, it's just that longevity and being in the game, you find that group of people. So when you go play, it's a joyous event. Like these people are working other jobs. They're like, music is fun. It's not this grind. God, I've been where everybody gets in the van and nobody wants to be there.
Wants to be there.
You're not paying them what they're worth because they're great musicians. But like, it is what it is. And they're doing it and you're doing it. And everybody's just kind of like, oh.
Because I would do anything for myself. So that's why it's so weird to me, because I'm like, you are in this van that, you know, doesn't cool down when it's idling, and you're driving to Lubbock for my music for, you know, whatever it was at the time, $150, whatever. It's like, that feels so strange to me. That's like, I don't think I would do that for another person. Like, I only do that amount of work because it's my dream and my music. But people have done it. I mean, my bass player, he's been with me forever, and
everybody's
giving you kisses.
Everybody's
hot.
Got their role in this crazy huge business, you know, like everybody's got their little job. And I think as you stay in it long enough, you start to understand, all right, this is what my job is, this is what it is. And you're not 22 and just bitching about everything, but you're like, all right, if I sign on for this gig, this is what this gig is, and this I'm not gonna, you know, I'm gonna get what I get and not throw a fit.
And well, and I will do things for a certain amount of money now. I will know what I'm getting into if the paycheck is right. And like,
for sure.
We've just been, we've been at it, both of us, for so long, but we have this music. We're already like out of time, and I want to make sure I get everything down, because this morning I was thinking about what I wanted to talk to you about. And I didn't prepare as much for your podcast as I do other people, because we know each other so well.
Because we just burned 30 minutes.
We just burned 30 minutes, no problem. But I was like, I picture you and Drew Kennedy meeting like across a field, and you guys like gallop towards each other, and like, because you guys are.
I wish you didn't picture
that. You guys
that.
Are the best.
Because now I'm picturing that and I don't like it.
Well, I just think you guys are the perfect duo best friend. Do y'all ever fight?
Yeah, it's brutal. It's brutal. He's a real, it's like Ike and Tina, and I'm Tina.
That's not true. But I just y'all are so funny together, and your voices blend together, and you're both 8 feet tall, and it's like you guys were made for one another. For real. Is that not how you feel? You love him.
I love him to death. I met him here, actually, in New Braunfels at River Road Ice House a billion years ago. And we just hit it off as buds, and yeah, it works. There's a chemistry, but you know, I always say, you know, you got work friends and you got your friends, and those don't always overlap. Like some people you're just friends with because you work with them or you're in that. Yeah. But like me and Drew be buds no matter what. And we've just been on this crazy parallel journey, and it's got a lot closer over the years, especially with Topo Chico Cowboys and stuff. But I mean, whether it's publishing deals, you know, going to Nashville, doing all that stuff we do up there, raising kids. I mean, we have two kids that are the same age.
I know.
His wife is teaching at the school. That, like, there's so many connections out beyond music that we've had. And then even inside music, having record deals, not having record deals, having published, you know, just whatever. It's just always moved. And I don't know. Yeah, he's, I love him a lot. I don't know about the galloping through a field love, but, and no, we don't fight. That's the thing. It's just like,
yeah.
It's amazing in this life when you find a friend that can just give you the space to be yourself. And I'm sure there's times I've annoyed the pants off of him, but he's just always just let me be. And sometimes you get in the truck and it's just bitching for like an hour about this, that, business, life, whatever. And sometimes it's him, and we just give each other the space to do it, and it works. It's one of the many blessings. But were it not for Drew Kennedy and Walt Wilkins, my career and my life would not be, they would not look anything like they do. And I'm happy with the way they look. So
two patron saints of Texas music.
I give them a lot of credit.
Well, if you haven't seen a Topo Chico Cowboys show, you got to check that out. But your solo stuff, we didn't even get to like anything. So this is great because you got to do this again because we have so much more to talk about.
We're coming close to the end of part one.
Part one's
over. It gets
over.
Juicy in part two.
But listen. And moms aren't invited to part two.
Scandal.
No, I'm just kidding. And I wanted to say.
Talk about all my wives.
I'm thrilled. We have music couples therapy at Josh's house, and we're always excited when it's your turn to host because you're such a great cook.
Yeah, we're excited when it's your turn to host.
Yeah, we haven't hosted yet. We don't have a house, and we've skirted out of hosting for like 2 years.
Do one in here. Let's do a music couples therapy.
We're like sweating. My dog is hyperventilating.
Seriously, when the weather gets good, do you have a canopy on there? I didn't notice.
Yeah.
Roll down the canopy. Let's like go park at the river and do a camping one.
Okay, well, I'm bringing hot dogs that are already made. Or something. I'm not cooking in this thing. I can, but that doesn't mean I'm going to. And I mean, you're trying to get me to host, and I'm really enjoying
that. That was
hosting.
Just a joke. I love hosting. I love it when everybody comes over. I'm just giving you a hard time because you guys are always like, "Well, we'll host the next one when our house gets done." And then I'm like,
"Our house.
Hey, how's the house going?" I'm like, "I think we put up two boards since I last saw you."
Yeah, the house is so far away from being done. But we're gonna host 8 times in a row. But you're gonna cook. You can come over and cook.
Fair enough.
Okay, it's hard being my friend. But okay, and we're going to sign off with Luck and Desire is literally when people ask me like top 5 favorite songs of all time, that one's in there.
Man.
So if you haven't listened, Kyle, I made you listen to that one night. Remember that? Oh, when Kyle was my tour manager, I was like, listen to this song when we were driving home. You did. It's a great record. Oh, yeah, we listened to the whole record. Look, I'm a fan.
That record is... My record's 10 years old.
Wow, dang.
God,
happy anniversary, my favorite record. And I got to play Whitewater, and Brian and Joaquin are coming from Cruces tonight, so prepare my
tonight.
Lever.
That's great.
Yeah, so I have to go. But you got to play a private show. I got to
play
Whitewater.
A great show. We didn't even get to talk about Nashville or anything.
I know. I had so much to talk to you about that. No, let's part two it because it's Jared. We have another one after this.
I talk too much.
No. You're great. You just have to do part two.
Okay, part two. We'll see you for that.
Okay. Bye, Mom.
3 cameras. This is a high deal shoot.
Oh, I didn't even notice that one. Great.
Desire rolled into town one night under the cover of a moonless sky. Tough as leather, stubborn as a mule. Breaking hearts and breaking rules. Running on faith, hope, and fire. Only one thing in this world can bring down desire. Now look, she's like a lightning strike. Never hits the same place twice. Hold her for a second, then she's gone. She'll turn on a dime, string you along. No walls, no chains, no barbed wire fence. Nothing in this world can lock love in. And they're both out here wandering the street. And it's nothing short of magic when they meet.